May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. Well, we can tell we're getting close to Advent because all the lessons are apocalyptic, which is what Advent is all about, Jesus' second coming. So in these lessons, the Kabbalah teaches us, Hebrews teaches us, of course, the book of Daniel, and then Jesus and the Holy Spirit teaches us as we read through the lessons. And the Kabbalah, it's one of my favorites for a lot of reasons, but if we think about this, we're praying to God who caused all the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. We're asking God to teach us how to hear them, read them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. So if we think of being a student, how we highlight or how we use the underline, we're really supposed to, when we read the Bible, mark it up and learn from it and then take it to heart. Inwardly digest it. The Bible and all that we learn from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and our Lord is to be a part of us. So all of these lessons, even though sometimes people are afraid of, you know, the day of the Lord, we don't have to be. These lessons are encouraging us because we're faithful to God. We're not perfect, but we're faithful to God, and we are to have no fear because Jesus keeps his promises. The one thing I would like to say about Daniel, I was going to leave it out, but I won't. In Daniel, I think the most important line there, the verse, is, "But at that time, your people shall be delivered." And that is a positive, encouraging comment. It's not, oh, you might be saved, or you might be delivered, but it's done. It's already going to happen, and we know it didn't happen for quite a while. But Daniel knew. Now, in Hebrews, it's really interesting because a priest, back then and now, can stand up and absolve sins, but that's not the priest who is absolving. The priest is just a tool. It's God Almighty that takes away sins. The priest can offer sacrifice day after day after day, but he can't, or she can't, take sins away. A priest can't save you. Only Jesus Christ. And then later, it says that Jesus, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Jesus only did it once, and it was for all of creation, past, present, and future. And then we have about the Holy Spirit. Hebrews writes, "This is the covenant that I will make with them for those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their mind." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, and there is no longer sin and any offering for sin." First of all, when we hear those words that the laws are written in our heart and the laws are written in our mind, it means that we take it seriously. We believe it. We take it to heart. We take it to our mind. It does, like the Kabbalah says, become a part of us. We digest it. And because of Jesus, we are saved. There's no one else. We don't need anything else to save us. Jesus has done that. And I think one of my favorite lines or verses in Hebrews in this particular reading is, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When you think of the word provoking, I don't think love is the first notion that comes to mind when somebody says, "Well, I'm provoked, or, you know, it's usually to anger or to hate or to aggravation. It's not love. So Hebrews, they're teaching us provoke one another to love, to be encouraging. And that's what Jesus does all the time. He brings out the love that we have, the forgiveness, the tenderness, the mercy. And that's what we're to do. We're to provoke one another so that the other person loves and does good deeds. And others are to provoke us to love and good deeds. So finally we get to the gospel. And as they came out of the temple, all of the disciples were really impressed with the large buildings and the large stones. And Jesus basically says, don't be impressed, because these buildings aren't going to last, and these buildings are not going to save you. Jesus lasts. Jesus will save us. He has. So, when he was sitting there, and that's what we had last week, but when he was sitting at the Mount of Olives, Peter and James and John, they came up and they said, well, tell us when the buildings are going to, you know, when is this all going to happen? They wanted to know what the signs were. And Jesus answers them, but what does he say first before he gives them a description? He tells them what's most important. He says, beware that no one leads you astray. So he's trying to teach the disciples, pay attention to what's important. Pay attention to what my words are. Listen to me. Listen to God Almighty. Listen and let the Holy Spirit work in your lives. Listening and being aware of what Jesus wants from us is a lot more important than us wanting to know when it's all going to happen. But he does tell them, he says, rumors of war, kingdoms will rise against kingdom, nation against nation, earthquakes and famines, and it goes on. So he does kind of explain it. But the last verse is, this is but the beginning of the birth pains. In other words, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. And if we think about a baby being born, and it's true, once a woman is pregnant, somehow the baby will come out. But if we look at this and look forward to a new life, thinking that we're like children being born, it's a birth, it's an actual birth. And that is encouraging. We don't die and then that's it. These bodies, you know, our human bodies decay and die. But our spirit, the rest of us, goes right to heaven with Jesus. And we are reborn. We are made new, a new creation. The day of the Lord, a lot of people, like I said, get worried about it. It will come. But we have Jesus who has saved us. We have Jesus who loves us. Jesus who forgives us. So we are his children. We're redeemed. We're reconciled. We're forgiven. And as the communion hymn says, we are restored in Christ. And we are very loved. All of us, each and every one of us, past, present, and future, the entire creation, will be made new through and with Christ. Now, you don't have to get it out, but in the book, in the bulletin, there, one of the inserts, the one that has the Weekly Glad Tidings newsletter, I just would like to read it as an end. It's from Psalm 16, verse 8. It shows the confidence that the psalmist has. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. And that is for each and every one of us.